Wow, what a privilege it is to have her. And welcome to the Spirit of Aloha Weekend. As you know, the Spirit of Aloha is simply a phrase that talks about the outreaches of New Hope into our community. And so we're so thankful for every single one of you that gets involved in the Spirit of Aloha, whether it's feeding the poor, outreaching to prisoners, inmates, their families, to the schools, culinary programs, so many different outreaches that we have, so that we don't become myopic and inward, but really that God give to us that we might give outward. And so it's called the Spirit of Aloha Outreaches. And it's a manifold amount of different outreaches, and we're so grateful for them. Would you say with a hand clap, thank you to all the people that are involved in the Spirit of Aloha from New Hope. It's wonderful. Well, we're going to talk about truth today. Truth. In today's economy, it's a rare commodity because truth is seldom spoken. And if it is, it's spun or it's redefined, dodged, or maybe ignored, or it can be completely misunderstood. I'm glad to be here in Hawaii today because I was actually fogged in San Francisco, and they wouldn't let us land in San Fran to get the connecting flight to Honolulu, so they had to we had to stay another day just for the fog to lift. And it's great coming back into Hawaii where it's nice and clear. But I heard that Friday night there was a little bit of fog with Pastor Elwin coming out. And the first thing he did was he misunderstood the truth. And he said, "Hi, I'm Wayne Cadero." And so he misdefined the truth there. And then later on, when Nicole C. Mullen was supposed to come out, his presence of mind fled him rapidly. And he introduced her as Natalie Cole. So, Nick Cole, Natalie Cole, he figured close enough. So, I think the first mistake with the truth was just simply wishful thinking. And the second was, he's just starting to lose his faculties. All of his functions are going. But for him, it was like close enough, you know, close enough. Natalie Cole, Nicole, it's close enough. Elwin Ahu, Wayne Cadero, far, but he thought close enough. We want to talk about how close enough isn't close enough when it comes to the truth, when it comes to the truth. And your ability to handle truth will tell much about you. It can change your life. If you respond well to truth, because it's not always easy to respond well to truth, but if you can respond well to truth, it will change you for the better. If you respond poorly to truth, it will change you for the worse. Because truth in itself is like, it's more powerful than the atomic bomb, really. So when you think about it, mankind has survived the atomic bomb. But if you respond poorly to truth, you will never be able to survive that. Truth is one of the most important and powerful elements in the world today. It can preserve nations or it can destroy nations if you respond poorly or reject truth. It can save marriages or destroy marriages by accepting truth or rejecting it. It is powerful. It can bring healing or it can multiply pain when you reject truth. As was the story of these three guys that escaped from Oahu prison. There was a Haole guy and there was a Japanese guy and there was a Portuguese guy. So they all run away and now they're at Ala Moana Shopping Center. And the police see him, and they corner these three guys. Now, they said to one another real quick, 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 quick. They said, don't tell them the truth about who we are. Tell them some other name. Give them some other name. So when they ask what our name is, make up a name. Remember, make up, otherwise we're going to go back in prison. So the policeman said, hey, to the first Haole guy, what's your name? The Haole guy's looking around for some hint of something because he can't think of a name. What's your name? A nice car goes by, and he says, Eddie. And the policeman said, what's your last name? Eddie Bauer. Eddie Bauer. That's it. Eddie Bauer. So, Mr. Eddie Bauer. The Japanese guy looking around, and the policeman says, what's your name? My first name is Shiro. Okay, what's your last name? Kia. Shiro Kia. Okay, Mr. Shiro Kia. And the Portuguese guy just smiling like this. The policeman says, what's your first name? He said, Ken. Yeah, he said, what's your last name? Taki Fried Chicken. How you handle truth will determine much about you. Truth. By the way, there's two kinds of truths. One kind of truth is what we call truth that is seen. Another kind of truth is a truth that is unseen. Now, it doesn't mean because a truth is seen that it's truth and it's not as important as unseen. No, you'll actually see quite a difference. Seen truth, you see things like, oh, there's a tree. Trees, so that gives way to botany or the study of plants, etc. Oh, there are people. Look at those people. That's a truth that's seen. And then you have the study of anatomy, etc. Oh, car. There's a car that gives way to mechanics. So you've got truths and principles of truth that are seen. Now, that's sort of like our default. If we can see it, we believe it. But there's another kind of truth that is a truth that's unseen. For example, there's a truth about God that gives way to eternity. There's also the unseen truth about our soul, or right and wrong, righteousness, unrighteousness. And there's also the truth about that which is unseen, heaven and hell, or the judgment of, or salvation, or you could say separation from God, which is sin. Now, what kind of truth is easier, seen or unseen? Seen truth. This is a default. And sometimes when we aren't sure about this, we default to this and say, well, if you can't see it, then it's not really truth. And a lot of the world's truth is built on this. Even though there is a huge amount of unseen truth. Because this kind of truth is dependent on just our eyeballs. This is not. But it doesn't make it any less truth. But we have a tendency to default back to what we can see. It's easy. So we don't have to deal with this. Story is told about a Ukrainian guy that couldn't speak any English. This teacher was trying to teach him some words just so he can eat while he's in our country. And he was a very slow learner, so he finally just said, hey, learn these three words. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. It's kind of like a song. So you go, hamburger, French fries, Coke. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. Good. Now you can eat. So he'd go to a restaurant. What would you like? Hamburger, French fries, Coke. So I'd give him hamburger, French fries, Coke. Breakfast, hamburger, French fries, Coke. Okay, hamburger, French fries, Coke. Dinner, hamburger, French fries, Coke. Well, he did this for about 3 or 4 months, but he looks like a Santa Claus by now with all of this starch and fat. So he decides that the teacher says, we got to give you some other word so that you can get something, you know, healthy. So he says, I tell you what, for breakfast, just order this, eggs, toast, juice. Eggs, toast, juice. So he said, got it. So he went to try it out, and he went to the first restaurant. She said, what would you like to eat? He says, eggs, toast, juice. She said, you want it scrambled, over medium, or poached? You want toast? You want white, wheat, whole wheat, or rye? And your juice, you want apple, you want orange, or cranberry? He said, hamburger, French fries, Coke. You see, this kind of truth, so easy to default back to, because it's easy. We don't have to worry about anything else. But let me ask you, of these two truths, which one is more eternally important? It's the unseen truth. This side of the truth is so important. Now, let me encourage you. Don't be afraid of the truth. Because sometimes people say, well, I'll deal with this, but I won't deal with that. But this is what will determine your future and your eternity. Truth. Not just half-truths, but the whole truth, which is both. And that's why God came to bring this so that we'll have wholeness of truth. It's going to come up on the screen, and let's take a look at John 3:19. Let's read it together. Would you go? This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, but people loved the dark rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You see, sometimes we say, well, because I want to do my own thing, I don't want to see the wholeness of truth. But Christ came not to bring a religion. He came to bring wholeness, to bring truth. Because when you understand wholeness of truth, then you see what is most eternal, not just the seen, but the unseen. Let's take a look at this next scripture out of 2 Corinthians 4, and let's read it. Go. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this brings wholeness to your life. If you don't have this, you have half-truths. And many millions and millions of people live their lives by half-truths because they don't want to accept this side because it's something beyond them. So they stay with seen truths. Now, there's something else that I want you to see about truths, that there are different sources of truths because you can pull truth from different sources and it'll be defined differently. Two sources of truth. One is from the world. Just what we see, what we hear, what people tell us. The danger of that is that the world is always changing. There's another truth or source of truth, and that is from God, who never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The scripture says, forever, O Lord, is your word settled in heaven. Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God abides forever. So you can determine your eternity, your life, on the truths that are unseen, who's sourced in God. That's going to require something called faith. And the way that God builds your faith is by you beginning to take a step in the right direction or beginning to lean on truths that are unseen. Remember what we just read. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, and the things which are unseen are eternal. And so you're going to take a look at the source now of truth. You take a look at water bottles. You know, how many of you in the last 2 weeks drank water from one of those bottled waters? Raise your hand. Yeah, look around. You know what's amazing is we live here in Hawaii that has great water and we still drink bottled water and pay for it. Did you know it's a multi-billion dollar, hundreds of billions of dollars go to bottled water? For some reason, we start drinking bottled water. I don't know why. But if you see on the label, it says Evian water, that tells you the source of that water is good. It's from the Evian Springs of France, which is probably polluted. And then, but if you had a bottle that said Alawai Canal, it could be the same water, but because you think, oh, no, the source is differently, you'll buy one and pay a bunch of money for it, and you refuse the other. Why? Because the source is so important. And it's even more important when it comes to truth, that we want to make sure the source of our truth is from a source that never changes and is never polluted and never gets corrupted, and that's God. You have seen truth and unseen truth. One is temporary, one is eternal. You know, the funny thing, though, is when people come to choose the truth about faith, the truth about eternity, the truth about life, their family, relationships, what determines us, what determines our future, we take a look at faith as if it's sort of an option. But I want to encourage you to see that there is truth that's going to be unseen, and that's going to be eternal. This never changes. But here's what people do. I have here some M&Ms. Now, my wife counted every one of these, so we know how much is in here. Now, let's say I want you to remember two things, all right? Number one, think of how many M&Ms do you think is in this bottle, all right? Think of a number, okay? It's more than 20, so just think of that number. All right, the other is think of your favorite song, the favorite song in the world. Okay, got those two? All right. Now, sometimes people are going to choose the truth about their faith sort of like this. How many of you said that there is over 700 in here? Raise your hand. Okay, all right. How many said there's over 1,000 in here? Raise your hand. Good, but that's not the truth. There is 900. There was 911, but someone in the back ate two. So there's 909 here in this. How many of you were close? Raise your hands. Oh, a couple of you. Okay, no cigar. All right. 909 M&Ms in this. Now, your favorite song. How many of you got your favorite song? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah, all right. It's Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Izzy. No? No, it's another one? Interesting. You know, sometimes you think, okay, wait a minute. There is empirical evidence on this. There is an exactness on this one here, the M&Ms. There's 909 in here. That's accurate. No close enoughs. But when it comes to your favorite song, it's optional. It's optional. This is not optional. This is optional, your favorite song. Now, a survey was taken, and people were asked, when it comes to the truth about choosing your faith, is it more like the M&Ms or more like a favorite song? Do you know what the majority of people answered? It's like my favorite song. Close enough. No, it has to be accurate. It has to be right on. Because when you are talking about life and eternity, it just can't be close enough. It's sort of like you going to surgery and you're going to have a heart transplant or a heart surgery, or appendix taken out, and the doctor says, just put them on there. We'll start cutting somewhere close enough. We'll find it. We'll just start digging. Close enough, just stab and start. That's my philosophy, stab and start. No, I don't want a doctor close enough. No, it has to be accurate and on the dime. And when it comes to stuff like surgery, we don't want a doctor close enough. But when it comes to stuff like our eternity, we'll hear people from the world, which changes, say, well, there's lots of ways to God, close enough. You go through this figure or that person or this belief or that religion, close enough. No, you can't go close enough when you're talking about life. But the world's going to have a lot of different philosophies. Abraham Lincoln, who was a great Christian, once was asking an atheist, and he said to the atheist who was saying, close enough, close enough. Abraham Lincoln said to him, how many legs does a cow have? And the atheist says, well, four. He said, but what if the owner of that cow or someone comes up to you and calls the tail a leg? All right? The tail is a leg. Now how many legs does that cow have? The atheist said, well, I guess five. Abraham Lincoln said, that's where you're wrong. Just because someone calls a tail a leg, it doesn't mean that it is. And see, the world's going to call all kinds of certain things and say, close enough. Just because they say close enough doesn't mean it is. It's not an option like a favorite song. No. In fact, in John 14 and verse 6, it'll come on the screen. Let's read what Jesus says. Go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by one way. Not many. Close enough. Close enough. No. No. Just like Pastor Elwin in the beginning, close enough isn't good enough. Now, there was a story of this Jewish guy that boarded the plane, sat next to a Pake guy. Now, the Jewish guy's from New York, and the Jewish guy stands up and punches the Pake guy. Boom! And the Pake guy said, what you do that for? And the Jewish guy from New York said, that's for Pearl Harbor. The Chinese guy said, I'm Chinese, I'm not Japanese, that was Japanese. And the guy sits down and says, close enough, Chinese, Japanese, close enough. So about 2 minutes later, the Chinese guy stands up and whacks the Jewish guy, boom, hits him in the head. And the Jewish guy says, what you do that for? And the Pake guy says, that for sinking Titanic. The guy says, that was an iceberg. The iceberg, Goldberg, close enough. See, being close enough will get you into trouble and get you into fights. There's no close enough. Sometimes you say, yeah, but I don't know. Isn't John 20 that there's a man named Thomas that was one of the disciples that had the same problem with truth? You see, Thomas was one of the 12. And it says he wasn't with the disciples when Jesus first came after the resurrection. He appears to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, and unless I'm able to put my finger where the nails were, put my hand in the side where the spear had pierced him, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, come here. Put your finger here in my hand. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and begin to believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says this. This is really cool. Because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have never seen me, but still believe. There are some people that want what we call a theophany, or an actual manifested presence of God that they see, and then they believe. There's going to be some that'll occur. But the Lord says, but for most, blessed are those who have never seen yet still believe. This is what Jesus is saying. There is a special blessing given to those who understand that there's truth that's seen and truth that's unseen. And the most important and eternal truths of all that are unseen. And when I say yes to that, then there's something that happens in my life. It's called the beginnings of faith. Now, God has given to every man, the Bible says, a measure of faith in the book of Romans. A measure of faith, which means it's enough to prime your pump. It's enough to say yes to Jesus Christ. And when you say yes to that and you utilize or you invest or you use what that little measure of faith that God has given to you, it ignites, it inaugurates, it begins a faith-building process. And that's how you grow in faith. But if we say we're going to stick with this, even though the source is not, it's always changing, I'll never grow in faith. I might grow in religion, but I won't ever grow in faith. And God speaks to us that the faith that we must have, the truth of what we believe, has to be accurate. And it's not close enough. It is to say, no, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because that source is the word of God, which Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. That never changes. And when God is a source of truth, you can bet your life on it. Truth. It'll make a difference. Truth. It's more powerful than the atomic bomb. Truth. What is unseen is more important. The question is, what will we do? Will we say yes to that? When I was 19 years old and I heard the gospel of truth, and something in my heart began to pound, and I knew that it was the truth, and I knew the source was fully dependable, completely credible. And now, after many years, I look back and I wish I would have said yes to the truth sooner. For God has never failed me. And when God touches your heart, then through your heart, you begin to touch others. He uses you as a vessel through which He can bring life to your family, to your marriage. You begin that He begins that process and you carry it on. But it has to begin with your heart to say yes. As we come to this point in the service, I want to encourage you with these words. Many of you are here today because God has given you a measure of faith. Faith enough to be here. You may have been invited by a family or some friends, but you've been given a measure of faith to be here. And that's enough to say yes to the truths of God's word. Some of you are here because events in your life has compressed on you so much that you know the truths of God are real. It's painted you into a corner to the point where the events in your life, you're starting to seek God and say, Lord, I need your help. God, you know I need help. You know I need forgiveness. And you're here because of those events in your life. Some of you are here because God has been speaking to you. Just over the last few months, God has been quietly speaking to your heart through different things. And you know that it's time to respond to truth. I want to give you that opportunity. Not just to discover truth, but to accept truth. Because that's where it all begins. The scripture says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word means be made whole. So that it won't just be half truths that you'll build your life on, but whole truth. And that's what the word salvation means, to be made whole, because God brings his truths into your life. And now you're made whole or complete. And you see things not just from one perspective, but two perspectives. It's a stereo. It's a greater perspective. You begin to see things God's way and not just the world's way. Not just one side of the story, but God's side of the story. Then the result is wisdom or insight because of wholeness. And that's what the word salvation means. It's not a religious experience. It's saying yes to God to come and be the Lord of your life so that wholeness comes to your life. And what God wants for us is then delivered. And then now just not to us, but through us. And you can give wiser counsel. You can help people because you have wholeness that's been brought to your life. And then the Bible says this in John 8:32. It says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what he wants to do. As we conclude the service, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to the one who makes us whole. And that's what truth is all about. Not half truths. See, the enemy wants you to learn just half truths. Say it's truth. Sure it is, but it's a half truth. But when you begin to understand God and you accept him into your life, he brings wholeness to your life. You start to see things. Oh, that's it. Oh, now I understand. And God opens up the windows of your life. He came to bring us truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Then you understand wholeness. And Jesus came not to give us a bunch of demands. No, he came to bring us wholeness. So then when we see his ways, we aspire to follow him. We're not under compulsion to necessarily. We aspire to that. Why? Because there's wholeness in our soul. Every single one of us needs to have a whole heart, to serve God with a whole heart, to have a whole soul so that you can have a whole family and your mind will be made whole and your future and your eternity is made complete. Truth is more powerful than the atomic bomb. And it's not just discovering it, but it's accepting it. And then you understand how God can make you whole. I want to give you that opportunity. If you've never received Jesus Christ before, I want you to open your heart to the God of truth so that he can show you his ways to take a hold of your hand and walk with you. Today, God has given you a measure of faith to say yes to the truth, not just mentally assent to the truth, but to say yes to the truth so that it affects your life and that you move towards wholeness in your life, your thinking, your marriage, your eternity, your future. And it's the part of truth that's unseen. Where does it begin? By you just saying yes to Jesus Christ. All of heaven awaits moments like this, because for many of you, this is a defining moment where you say yes. Some of you are here and you've been running from God. You've been running from the truth. You know the truth, but you've been running from it. And that's why the Bible says in John 3:19, this is judgment, that the light has come into the world, but many love the darkness because their deeds are wrong, they're evil. We need to step into the light and say, Lord, I need to know what the truth is. Remember, your life will be determined by how you respond to the truth. It can affect you wonderfully, or it can work against you when you reject it. Truth is very powerful because it doesn't change. We must. Some of you have been running from God. Did you know that you can walk with God and you can walk away from God? That's right. The Bible is replete with those examples. Jonah, who was a God-fearing man, when God said, go to Nineveh, he walked away from God and went the other way. Simon Peter, after the resurrection, he said, I'm going back fishing, and decided to walk away from God. We saw that with Judas Iscariot. He walked away from God. Saul, King Saul of the Old Testament, knew God, but he walked away from God. Esau walked away from God. You'll see many, many stories. And we even spoke about it last week with Cain and Abel. Cain walked away from God, left the truth. Some of you have been running from God, and you are here because God wants to welcome you back home. And it begins with a decision to say, it's time for me to come home. And then wholeness begins to flood your soul. I want you to bow your heads, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, you know, Wayne, God knows the truth. And the truth is, I need forgiveness. Truth is, I need a Savior. Truth is, I need Jesus Christ. And all of heaven waits for you to bow your heart and say yes to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you've never received Jesus Christ, now is the time. You say, I need forgiveness. Then I'm going to ask you to say yes to Jesus. You say, how do you do that? I'm going to ask for a show of hands, just that simple. And all of heaven will see not just your hand, Jesus will see your heart. So if you're here today and you'd say, you know, that's me. I need to say yes to Jesus Christ, and I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? In doing so, you're saying yes. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, yep, you too. Yeah, yep, the Lord sees those hands. And at the top, just raise your hand so I can see it. Okay, yeah, all right. Okay, you too. Yep, up back in the back. All right, you too. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, over there too. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, as you go out, there'll be some yes packets. It's for those who said yes to Christ. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. I want you to take one of those. It's free of charge. It'll help you in your first few steps with Christ. But I don't want to be remiss in ending too soon, because some of you are here and you've been running from the truth. And today you've seen that God is offering you wholeness, wholeness again, which was once yours. But we've been hearing truths from the world, wrong source. And we've been following that. And you know that God is saying that it's time for you to come back home, to move towards wholeness, because you've been running from the truth. The way you respond to truth will affect the rest of your life. And it's a defining moment. And if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I've been running from the truth, but it's time. I'm coming home. I'm going to walk with Christ so that there'll be wholeness in my heart and my soul and my future and my eternity. If that's you right now and you're saying, I'm coming home, I'm turning towards home, I want to walk with Jesus. If that's you, would you raise a hand? And doing so, you're saying, yes, okay, yeah, yeah. You can walk away from God or you can walk with God. It's your choice. And we're going to say yes to him who invites us to stay close. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray a prayer, and then we'll have a beautiful song that reminds us that God isn't just giving truth to us, but through us to the nations. And that begins with our own hearts, with our own families, by walking across the street to our neighbors to be an example, an ambassador, and then to the nations. But before that, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins. that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's the cry of our hearts today. We want to say thank you for the truth, the seen and unseen truth. Thank you for the source of eternal truth, which is the Word of God. Thank you that our eternity is not left up to an option, but we choose to follow you, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other answer. And for these, Lord, who've received you for the first time, would you embrace them and let them know how loved they are? And for those that are coming home, would you put a ring on their finger, put a mantle around them and a robe? For we, with our welcome, as it were, kill the fattened calf to welcome these back home to wholeness and to truth. Use us now as you take us to the nations. Take us to our families and begin to live your life through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, would you welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ?